Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello. Welcome back, far back, into the recesses of our library, what we call the stacks. Make yourself comfortable while I pull down a volume for us. Two stories from 51 Tales by Lord Dunsany. The Guest. A young man came into an ornate restaurant at 8 o'clock in London. He was alone. But two places had been laid at the table which was reserved for him. He had chosen the dinner very carefully, by letter, a week before. A waiter asked him about the other guest. "You probably won't see him till the coffee comes," the young man told him, so he was served alone. Those at adjacent tables might have noticed the young man continually addressing the empty chair and carrying on a monologue with it throughout his elaborate dinner. "I think you knew my father," he said to it over the soup. "I sent for you this evening," he continued, "because I want you to do me a good turn. In fact, I must insist on it." There was nothing eccentric about the man except for this habit of addressing an empty chair. Certainly he was eating as good a dinner as any sane man could wish for. After the Burgundy had been served, he became more voluble in his monologue, not that he spoiled his wine by drinking excessively. "We have several acquaintances in common," he said. "I met King Seti a year ago in Thebes. I should think he has altered very little since you knew him. I thought his forehead a little low for a king's. Cheops had left the house that he built for your reception. He must have prepared for you for years and years. I suppose you have seldom been entertained like that. I ordered this dinner over a week ago. I thought then that a lady might have come with me, but as she wouldn't, I've asked you. She may not, after all, be as lovely as Helen of Troy." "Was Helen very lovely?" "Not when you knew her, perhaps. You were lucky in Cleopatra. You must have known her when she was in her prime." "You never knew the mermaids, nor the fairies, nor the lovely goddesses of long ago. That's where we have the best of you." He was silent when the waiters came to his table, but rambled merrily on as soon as they left, still turned to the empty chair. "You know, I saw you here in London only the other day. You were on a motor bus going down Ludgate Hill. It was going much too fast. London is a good place, but I shall be glad enough to leave it. It was in London I met the lady that I was speaking about. If it hadn't been for London, I probably shouldn't have met her, and if it hadn't been for London, she probably wouldn't have had so much besides me to amuse her. It cuts both ways." He paused once to order coffee, gazing earnestly at the waiter and putting a sovereign into his hand. "Don't let it be chicory," said he. The waiter brought the coffee, and the young man dropped a tabloid of some sort into his cup. "I don't suppose you come here very often," he went on. "Well, you probably want to be going. I haven't taken you much out of your way. There's plenty for you to do in London." Then, having drunk his coffee, he fell onto the floor by a foot of the empty chair, and a doctor who was dining in the room bent over him and announced to the anxious manager the visible presence of the young man's guest. The Workman. I saw a workman fall with his scaffolding right from the summit of some vast hotel. And as he came down, I saw him holding a knife and trying to cut his name on the scaffolding. He had had time to try and do this, for he must have had nearly 300 feet to fall.
and I could think of nothing but his folly in doing this futile thing, for not only would the man be unrecognizably dead in 3 seconds, but the very pole on which he tried to scratch whatever of his name he had time for was certain to be burnt in a few weeks for firewood. Then I went home, for I had work to do, and all that evening I thought of the man's folly, till the thought hindered me from serious work. And late that night, while I was still at work, the ghost of the workman floated through my wall and stood before me laughing. I heard no sound until after I spoke to it, but I could see the grey diaphanous form standing before me, shuddering with laughter. I spoke at last and asked what it was laughing at, and then the ghost spoke. It said, I'm a laughing at you sitting and working there. And why, I said, do you laugh at serious work? Why, your bloomin' life will go by like a wind, he said, and your old silly civilization will be tidied up in a few centuries. Then he fell to laughing again, and this time audibly, and laughing still, faded back through the wall again and into the eternity from which he had come. Well, that's all for today. Thank you for joining us for a short fix of literature from the library. Brass Stacks is written and curated by John Longenbaugh and produced by Catherine Grant Suddy for Battleground Productions. Music is by composer Benedict Edwards at benedictedwards.co.uk. For more information on this show and to hear our 19th century adventure serial, Brass, go to battlegroundproductions.org or wherever you listen to your podcasts and find us on Facebook.